gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website, check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lemoy, voice deity Jim Ward. Or me, Stephanie Miller, a jam-packed celebrity hotline again today. Comedian Will Durst coming up this hour on the celebrity hotline. Eric Bowler, senior fellow at Media Matters for America. Tell us the latest of the birther controversy. Did I say controversy? Okay.
Whatever.
Not according to Michael Steele.
Representative.
That's whack.
Yeah, it's whack. Representative Chris Murphy, Democrat of the great state of Connecticut, in our number three. All right, let's jump into the health care fray, among other issues. Yes! Why, who is it, Jim?
From the great state of New Jersey? Yes. It's Representative Robert Andrews. I got to write down what the Commonwealth places are.
One of our personal favorites. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for taking time for us today.
Look forward to it.
Well, we are really at a critical time here in healthcare, aren't we? I think the bad news is the polls are showing that, you know, a lot of these right-wing, I don't know what else to call them but lies, are having some effect in terms of scaring the public, don't you think?
They are, and our job is to point out the fact that these are lies and move forward. Nothing that was ever important and worth doing was easy. This isn't, but we're going to do it.
Mm-hmm. You were quoted last week in the New York Times as saying, I've met seniors who think their Medicare will be taken away. Which, and this is part of the problem, is I think, you know, scaring seniors is one of the, you know, the tactics here.
I'm going to be on the phone in about an hour and a half with 20,000 seniors in my district, a teleconference to talk about this. And the only antidote to this poison is the truth. And we are go out and tell the truth, and I have enough confidence in people that we'll be successful.
Well, you know, Congressman, I was struck. I think the latest poll I was looking at is a CNN poll, which shows a real generational shift, right? That, you know, the majority of younger people are for the president's plan, and seniors, I think, like you say, you know, somebody was pointing out, because a lot of times they don't probably use the internet as much or whatever, it's like, oh, I heard this on Rush Limbaugh, or, you know,
yeah.
I heard it on Fox News, and
the
I think they're scared.
The problem here is seniors believe that Medicare, which they like, by this awful government-run health care, this terrible government-run health care, which they all love, is going to be taken away from them, number one. Number two, the worst lie, the most vicious lie, is that end-of-life care is going to be somehow determined by the government. So if your grandmom needs a heart transplant, I'm going to vote on whether she gets it or not. That's just the most ridiculous, false accusation being made.
Well, you saw that poor old woman stand up in the supermarket and essentially ask the president if his plan will kill her. You know,
yeah.
I mean, can you explain for people, Congressman, who are just tuning in, what will this plan, how will it affect Medicare?
It'll affect it in two positive ways. First of all, seniors who go to get an OBGYN exam or a annual checkup won't pay any copay. Medicare will pay the whole bill, number one. Number two, prescription drugs will become a lot more affordable because the cost will be much more insured and much less out of the pocket of a senior. So a senior who's paying, I don't know, $2,000 a year out of their pocket for prescriptions will now pay like $800 a year for their prescriptions.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Well, you know, my mom is 86, and she's on Medicare, and I think that's one of the things that I generationally, I think when you look on any issue, Congressman, older people, I think they're afraid of change. They're afraid of, you know, this is what I have now, and I think,
of
like
course.
I say, the fear-mongering, I think, always works in the short term, unfortunately.
Sure.
Hopefully in the long term it won't, but I think you're right. People are afraid of losing what they have now, I guess.
That's right, and we can just give people like your mom assurances that isn't going to happen, and that's not in the plan. The plan does exactly the opposite. The reason I'm convinced so much this plan's the right thing to do is how fiercely the insurance industry is fighting it. Our plan is designed to make the insurance industry do right by the American people for the first time. And if it wasn't going to be effective, they would just sort of roll their eyes and let it go through. The fact that they are financing this toxic campaign of lies shows you that they're very concerned that it's going to work. And you know what? We're not going to be deterred by this. We're going to pass it, and it's going to work.
Yep. Well, first of all, I would appreciate it if you'd call my mom personally, because she doesn't believe anything I say.
I'd be happy to.
Okay.
I'd be happy to.
But, you know, here's the thing. You know, as you know, Michael Steele, among others, yesterday said, this is ridiculous. This is just grassroots protesting at these town halls when we have evidence. We have written memos and evidence that, and by the way, the Freedom Works, that's one of the people that are bussing these people in to harass Democratic lawmakers. He has a vested interest in a private health care industry. I mean, it's like you say, look at who's fighting this.
I'm just shocked by that. Are these some of the same people who say they're not instigating the birther wackos?
People are
sort of winking the one. Are these the same people that are still looking for the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, their track record on credibility is a little weak. So, you know, look, the insurance industry is financing and the status quo is financing this AstroTurf campaign, this false grassroots campaign. It's working to an extent, but we've got to do what we're paid to do, which is to be grown-ups, tell the truth, and make a decision. And, you know, for 61 years, presidents since Harry Truman have tried to fix this problem, and this one's going to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to let some orchestrated hate campaign get in the way. I want to be clear about this. Not everyone who's against this plan is acting disrespectfully or acting irrationally. There's a lot of people with very real concerns. We have to treat those people with respect.
Well, that's what town halls are for, Congressman.
Exactly.
That's okay. You know, meaningful debate is okay. People with meaningful questions is okay.
Exactly.
I got an email from President Obama yesterday, and then it turns out, I guess, millions of people did. But I always think I'm special. But I think they're trying to organize, too, but not in a disruptive way, but to say, look, you need to get out there, too, and go to town halls, but again, not to disrupt, not to try and...
I'm glad to hear he took some time away from doctoring his birth certificate to do that.
Yes,
But, you know, absolutely we need people to come out and express their views. But, you know, I'm listening to the people who were calling me months before this false debate began that were desperate because they were going to lose their home because they couldn't pay their medical bills, or were desperate because a therapy their child needed was turned down by the insurance company because it was, quote, experimental, who were desperate because they lost their job and couldn't pay their COBRA. Those people are not being bussed in to go picket some congressman. They want us to do something about this.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the people I'm listening to.
Well, I mean, absolutely. That's what I mean. If, you know, whether it's Republicans or lawmakers or people at these town halls, I mean, if people are really trying to, if you have just a meaningful difference of opinion and you're really negotiating in good faith, but, you know, I like what the president is basically signaling yesterday is, look, we've given plenty of time for that, and if the Republicans are not coming along, we're going forward anyway. We're getting health care for the American people by the end of the year.
That is correct. The president ran on a platform of forcing the insurance industry to do right by the American people, get everyone covered, and to the extent it costs the Treasury something, pay for it by higher taxes on the wealthiest people in the country. He ran on that. He's implementing that plan, and we're going to vote for it. And look, the plan can be improved. We need to listen to people with legitimate and rational concerns and address them, and we're doing that.
Yep.
But what we're not going to do here is get sucked into this, you know, this argument that's based upon someone who wants to tear down the president. You know, Senator DeMint from South Carolina said it explicitly about 3 weeks ago that if they win this battle, they, quote, break Obama, close quote, and ruin his presidency. I'm not trying to break anybody's presidency. I'm trying to improve the health care system for the people of this country.
Yeah. Well, you know, and before you go, Congressman, I mean, I think that there is just no better example recently than yesterday when you have this amazingly just touching an American moment with when our journalists came back home, and you literally have, you know, John Bolton, Karl Rove, Dick Morris on TV, you know, basically being against it, saying they should have stayed in prison. This was a bad thing.
You know what? You just got to sort of – you ever see people on airplanes where they put those earphones on to fan out the background noise?
Yes.
Bose noise-canceling headphones. I highly recommend them.
Dick Morris and Karl Rove are carnival acts. You know, they're trying to just divert attention. That's what they get paid to do. You know, God bless them for it. What we're trying to do is identify the country's problems, like these two women being held in North Korea, and fix it and bring them home. You know, there's a lot of Americans being held hostage by irrational, unfair insurance practices. We're trying to rescue them and bring them home to a better system. That's what we're going to do.
Congressman Robert Andrews, you are my knight in shining armor.
Well, thank you. I'll call your mom if you want.
Okay, yeah. Thank you. Just hold, stay on hold. All right, Congressman Robert Andrews of the great state of New Jersey, thanks so much for taking time for us.
We'll see you soon.
All right, thank you, sir. There he goes.
Yay.
He's going to call my mommy. She'll be like, oh, dear.
And you are?
Is this one of these communist Congress people that Steffi knows?
Yeah.
I can't. I got to go. I have bridge.
Okay. With Hoppy Delaplante at the club.
I'm playing bridge, dear, with Hoppy Delaplante. I can't talk to your socialist friend. All right.
Don't take away my Medicare.
Let's check some news we don't want to lose. Here we go.
Yippee, yippee. It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Steffi Miller.
Thank you. When news breaks here at Stay's Broken, our top story, Oily Taint has responded to the...
Oily Taint is her name.
The birther whack person.
Yes.
this is great. This story just gets greaterer and greaterer.
It really does.
She has responded to the forgery charges that the forged Kenyan birth certificate is, in fact, a forgery.
Yeah. Australian.
The birther lawyer who released the document that was supposedly a copy of President Obama's Kenyan birth certificate has now taken to her blog with an angry screed in response to the evidence that her...
Is there any better kind of screed than an angry screed?
An angry Russian dentist lawyer. her find is, in fact, a poorly done forgery, referring to the discovery that the purportedly Kenyan document was almost certainly based on a copy of a birth certificate issued for an Australian man, David Jeffrey Bomford.
They found the actual guy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they interviewed him on Keith.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
He's like, oh, yeah, that's my birth certificate.
It's very strange.
He found it hilarious. Tate writes, recently, Obama's thugs in the mainstream media came up with this Bumford report in order to stop my efforts in exposing and prosecuting Obama, though typically, I don't have time to waste on each and every dumb...
Oh, no.
Since it got to national TV and my children's friends called my children, I'll spend a few minutes to debunk the Obots. Oh, Obamatrons, I got it.
Oh, I see, okay.
Mm-hmm.
The guy exists.
She's doing it for the children.
Phone.
Somebody is thinking of the children. That's why she's doing this. She normally doesn't have time for this sort of nonsense.
Oh, somebody please think of the children.
My children's friends called my children and said, you know what, your mom's nuts.
I mean, have you looked at her? Jeez.
Anyway, I can't go through all of them, but hilarious the points that she thinks has refuted this ridiculous story now. The Bomford report was created to try to discredit my efforts. So apparently this man was created.
Yes, from a petri dish.
Yes, just to discredit her. Okay, she also goes on to say, I am not supposed to waste my time and money on this issue. Obama is the one who's supposed to provide evidence of legitimacy. You're lucky she even, performs for you people is her point, I think. Leave her alone.
Leave her alone! You're lucky she even performed for you bastards!
Her other point, Obama and their Nazi brown shirts in the mainstream media need to give it a rest and provide an original hospital birth certificate and the corresponding big, thick hospital birthing file from the Kapalabiali Hospital. If they don't have such a file, all of them need to resign immediately or they will be prosecuted for massive fraud and treason to this nation. Harumph. Slam down 1940s telephone. I'll be on the fainting couch. All right. We have some of Oily Taint's screed.
I am living American dream and I'm loving it. Where else in the world could ex-dentists with Blini for brains become celebrity by taking Xerox of Etch-a-Sketch picture and calling it President's birth certificate? Where else could self-made attorney counsel military men to commit treason and make oodles of money for it? I'm telling you, in Russia, if you talk about Putin the way I talk about Obama, it's not long before skull is ventilated from behind. Here, I make enough to air-condition 12-bedroom mansion. What a country! In Russia, we have boring problem of citizens numbing their brains with vodka to escape miserable lives. Here, we have same useless drones medicating themselves with Fox News. Destroys brains without killing addict. Perfect synergy for soulless charlatan from Slavic country. You're just late, because old Orly is just getting started. Next up, I produce a scientific report claiming Obama has DNA of musk ox and Komodo dragon and demands that he produce his human certificate. What? Is no such thing as human certificate? I know, isn't it wonderful? Is gravy train with first-class cabin, room service with complimentary champagne and maglev ride. Now, if you'll pardon me, I am needing to get on board and buckle up. My caviar is getting warm.
Natasha, shut hole. You're sounding like idiot.
Morris. That's all for stand-up news part one. Stand-up news part two when we return, and it includes Dick.
What?
Morris.
I beg your pardon?
Oh.
Dick Morris on the North Korean situation as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow, yes, yes, I love it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 25 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. And finally in stand-up news, Dick Morris just could not let Democrats and Americans in general have a good moment without criticizing the Obama administration. As the free journalist Laura Ling and Una Lee returned to America, Morris used the opportunity to argue that the Obama administration gave up too much and the two instead should have stayed. He tells the journalists they should have lived with the consequences of being in a North Korean prison for 12 years. And he, probably, rape and torture. Yeah.
Whatever.
That would have involved.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, now more Dick.
What a dick.
Morris.
It's an outrage. Where does Bill Clinton get off? You think he used to be president or something with the Secret Service and the so-called diplomacy that gave Kim Jong-il the secrets to cold fusion and the recipe for Colonel Sanders' fried chicken? And for what? To bring home a couple of tarts and need to be taught a lesson about consequences. Don't go showing your stupid video of weeping women being all grateful and happy. Weeping women don't affect me. Believe me, I know about weeping women. I can't tell you how many I've seen leave my bedroom as fast as they can, sobbing their hearts out. If these gals have to live with the consequences of their choices, then so do these two, quote, reporters. Besides that, there wasn't a single toe-sucking session at any one of the prisons they were held in. And I'm sure the North Koreans didn't inflict a porcine narcissist on them demanding sexual favors. Not even they are that depraved. No, they should have died in North Korea. Hillary should die in North Korea. Bill Clinton especially should die in North Korea, and you know why. Because he gave Kim Jong-il one of his old little black books, that's why, and that was supposed to be mine. Now Kim is going to get all the action while I have to use this thing name with all the escort services and pay psychotherapy for all these hookers I traumatized. Curse you, Bill Clinton, and the whores you wrote in on.
That just kills me every time. That's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week to your friends. If you like more Jim Ward, Falderall.
Check out Jim Ward's Apocryphal but True, which is so far Dick Morris free, but then they have
to. Oh, yeah, we may need to fix that.
Check out the tile ad. Buy the album. StephanieMiller.com. Yeah.
There you go. I think that's how you shall heretofore be known on the Stephanie Miller newscast. Porcine narcissist,
yeah.
Dick Morris.
You know what I think his problem is? I think he has no anus. So he's just a big bag of feces. It just never comes out, and it just keeps expanding.
There's no room for my lungs anymore. There's too much crap. I'm a mountain of crap.
Dick Morris in such good shape he can be winded by a run-on sentence. The Republican talking points are too long for Dick Morris. All right, 28 minutes after the hour, back with comedian Will Durst next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Is this some apparition I see before me? Or could it be?
Stephanie Miller.
Oh my God!
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 30.
Undigested bit of beef.
3 minutes after the hour.
Spot of mustard.
Is it undigested beef or is it?
Stephanie Miller.
All right. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Oh, the party just gets better and better. If only there was someone else. What?
What?
Why, Jim, who is it?
Why, it's comedian Will Durst, promoting his upcoming gigs in D.C.
Good morning, Will Durst.
Hey, Miss Stephanie, how goes it?
It's going good. Your gigs are called the All-American Sport of Bipartisan Bashing, I understand.
Well, I got a new little one-man show that I'm doing in the belly of the beast right here in D.C.
and is called the Lieutenant Governor from the State of Confusion.
There you are. You know, listen, I have to say, it's just the Republicans do provide more material, don't they, these days with the birthers and... And you just can't. It's hard to top that. We thought all the good comedy would be gone when Bush was gone, didn't we?
Yeah, and I love the fact that they, you know, they're going to have about 28 GOP senators going to vote against Sotomayor. But it's not racial. Yeah. You know, and yeah. Those sizzling fajitas in your lap are not racial either.
You know, yeah, wow, that is that the sound of the Hispanic vote? Disappearing from the Republican Party.
It's just like what Pete Wilson did in California, only more.
Only worse.
Only better.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I keep wondering if the GOP is actually going to file for protection under the Endangered Species Act. By 2012, they might be small enough to drown in Grover Norquist's bathtub.
what can you make of an opposition party that literally nearly 60% of Republicans are not sure if the president is American?
Yeah, did you see that yesterday where it was his birthday and he gave the cupcake to
Helen Thomas.
That was so sweet. But, you know, he turned 48. If you believe his birth certificate.
Yeah, if you believe he was even born on this planet.
Do you think it's a coincidence that the birther rhymes with flat earther?
How about, have you seen the Orly Tates? Have you seen her on the TV?
No, but I love the guys who are running into all these meetings. There was a guy in Green Bay, a congressman in Green Bay, who tried to have a meeting, and they had signs and they were chanting, and he's just got his head in his hands and he's shaking his head. I don't think that's good. I don't think it makes the Republicans look good. It makes them look like right-wing Christian nut jobs.
Well, you know, and also they're really seriously trying to say, oh no no, this is just organic grassroots, you know, real American. And meanwhile, you know, we have the memos and things. I mean, the guy Freedom Works is one of the groups. They were the teabaggers. You know, the guy Dick Armey is from Freedom Works. As we know, it takes a Dick Armey to have a good teabagging.
Dick Armey is in charge of teabagging. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't get better. But so now Freedom Works is behind, you know, bussing in these protesters to you know, Democrats having town halls. And guess where, you know, one of the board members, they have a vested interest in, you'll never guess, the private health care industry.
Yeah, who would have thunk it?
Yeah, Richard Stevenson, the Freedom Works board member, he spent much of his career in the private health care industry. I wonder what's in this for him.
And poor Obama, you know, I mean, I'm shocked that to think that this opposition to my health care might be politically motivated in D.C. Come on, man. I mean, what's next? Fire is hot?
I know.
The Pacific Ocean is moist? I think they look like idiots, though. I think, you know, they're becoming, what was it that the senator said? They're turning in, senator from Ohio, Voinovich, he said that they're all turning into demence and, you know, our party, and he's a Republican himself, and he's complaining that they all look like Southern nut jobs.
Right.
And then two Southern nut jobs said, what's wrong with that?
What's wrong with Southern nut jobs? Yeah, I you know, like we were saying, and I have to say, I can still be surprised. I mean, this beautiful moment yesterday when, you know, the journalists came home from North Korea, and, you know, unbelievable. I mean, literally, the John Boltons and Karl Roves and Dick Morrises of the world are saying, we did a bad thing. This is a bad thing. They should have stayed there.
Yeah, I don't understand his point, Bolton coming out, you know, the pit bull, the man who wanted to get rid of the U.N., just lop off the top 10 floors.
Yeah, well, just a couple floors.
And Bush thought, well, I like his attitude.
Yeah, that seems diplomatic to me.
Yeah, he made him his ambassador. But I don't understand, what did we lose in this, you know? I mean, we got that great photo that was in all the papers yesterday of Clinton sitting next to Kim Jong-il, who looks like a 12-year-old boy sitting in that, and I don't think it does make him look presidential. So I don't understand what we lost. I
know
what Hillary might have lost.
It's a win-win. Yeah, I know. I you know, well, and for bipartisan jokes, of course, we have Bill Clinton going to a woman's prison and the words happy ending in the same sentence. I think Hillary Clinton actually said yesterday he was glad there was a happy ending. I'm like, oh, no, she didn't. She didn't say that.
It was
Bill was happy there was a happy ending. What's
up? Yeah, he went to a women's prison with a fistful of pardons. I mean,
oh,
full of something.
Yeah.
But, it's like, that's the thing. It's, they literally, it's like not even 2 months in, or like the stimulus isn't working. And now the cash for clunkers, of course, is working better than anyone would have expected. And they're like, oh, we're against that, too.
I keep reading these editorials. I just read another one today about how bad cash for clunkers is, and it had something to do with illegals might be coming from Mexico or Canada with their clunkers and trading them in, but they're still buying cars. Nobody mentions it. Of course, every time I hear cash for clunkers, I keep thinking that it's some sort of plan to raise the Senate's per diem.
Exactly. I have some Republican senators I'd like to trade in. All right. Will Durst, your gigs are called the All-American Sport of Bipartisan Bashing. How might one find out where to see you in D.C.?
I'm going to be at the D.C. Improv this weekend and next weekend, so you can go to dcimprov.com or willdurst.com, and I might be working the whole month of August.
Somebody's got to work in Washington in August.
August in D.C., what was I thinking?
Can't you sneak some health care through as long as you're there working?
I will give it my best.
Your 1940s jangly telephone is ringing. I guess you must go.
I am such a popular man. Thank you, Ms. Stephanie.
Thank you, Will Durst. There he goes.
Yay!
Will Durst, comedian extraordinaire.
Yes, it's Veronica Lake on the line.
What is that all about?
Oh, there's an iPhone ringtone that sounds
exactly
like a 1940s phone.
It's an ironic ringtone.
Yeah,
see.
Maybe.
Maybe it was Dick Morris calling him. You never know. He has one of those 1940s jangly telephones, doesn't he?
Hello. Just a minute. Dick, are you in?
I'm always in for Dick.
All right. Huh.
Hmm?
Really?
What?
Hmm.
Okay.
What's her number? Well, Dick Morris.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Heck, that might have been Veronica Lake.
All right. The rest of, now, I don't know about you two, but I know men are only supposed to cry when heavy things fall on them. However, I know grown men that wept yesterday at the airport scene yesterday with Laura Ling speaking.
To our loved ones, friends, colleagues, and to the complete strangers with the kindness of hearts who showed us so much love and sent us so many positive thoughts and energy, we thank you. We could feel your love all the way in North Korea. It is what kept us going in the darkest of hours. It is what sustained our faith that we would come home.
Except for you, Dick Morris, and Karl Rove, and John Bolton.
Yeah.
Give anything to see what's in Laura Ling and Yuna Lee's thought bubbles.
Yeah.
About Dick Morris's thoughts on that they should have stayed in the
should just stay there, you bitches. I hate you. Why do you stay in North Korea and die?
42 minutes to the hour.
God.
Right back with more on the, the happy and the sad from the release of our journalist yesterday as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a combination of low self-esteem, low blood sugar, and mixing red wine with my dog's painkillers.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Drew in Joyzey on the town halls. Hi, Drew.
Yeah, hey, Steph.
Hi.
All these guys at the Freedom Fund, whatever, that are publishing their game plan for the town hall meeting.
Yeah, exactly. If you don't want us to know it's an AstroTurf thing, don't write it down.
If they're saying, like, spread people out, make glue in their finger, why can't they just check IDs? Because aren't these for the people who live in the area? And not keep them out, but put them in a peanut gallery. They might throw hats and noisemakers and at least see how many people there are.
Yeah.
And if they're disruptive, say, go away. I mean, George Bush would have screened everybody in his town hall meeting.
Yeah.
And only allowed the Bushies.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, I don't know. What I mean, that's the problem. There aren't really rules like that. But I know you'd think that people, you know, constituents of that lawmaker that really want to have a meaningful conversation and have real questions. I mean, that's really the you know, tragedy of all that is that, you know, there's a lot of people that really have that really want to have a debate about this.
And you need to be educated that Medicare is not only not going away, it should be expanded.
It's going to strengthen it, yeah.
It is national health care.
That's why some people in Congress are moving more towards teleconferences instead of, you know, so that they can be heard and real people can be heard instead of these nutbags.
Mm-hmm. You should have done that right from the beginning.
Obviously yesterday was the touching reunion for the our two journalists and their families yesterday. If you're watching the pictures on the CNN, it was, I thought, quite moving.
Mm-hmm.
Laura Ling yesterday.
The past 140 days have been the most difficult, heart-wrenching time of our lives. We are very grateful that we were granted amnesty by the government of North Korea, and we are so happy to be home.
How can you watch the, you know, Yuna Lee too with her little 4-year-old and mm-hmm. her husband and go, oh yeah, no, that would have been better if that 4-year-old.
You should have stayed there and died. I would say that's died. What is it?
Dick Morris is starting to sound like The Exorcist. He's going to start spitting pea soup up on Fox News. Laura Ling yesterday about when Bill Clinton walked in the room.
30 hours ago, Yuna Lee and I were prisoners in North Korea. We feared that at any moment we could be sent to a hard labor camp. And then suddenly we were told that we were going to a meeting. We were taken to a location, and when we walked in through the doors, we saw standing before us President Bill Clinton.
That's what's really driving the right-wingers nuts.
Oh, I know.
Oh, damn it!
I know.
Still popular! Crap!
I know, which is exactly why they sent him, because he's the only one that has the stature in North Korea. You know, they North Koreans feel that that's the best our relations ever were, the closest we ever were to a, you know, yes.
Numb nuts. I'm sorry, can I say
oh,
that?
Oh, pardon.
I don't think so.
I think you mean Commandant Cuckoo Bananas.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. George Bush.
Screwed everything up.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, that's when they got nukes, is, you know, they kicked the inspectors out.
Yep.
And that, okay. All right. Al Gore yesterday.
It speaks well of our country that when two American citizens are in harm's way, that so many people would just put things aside and just go to work to make sure that this has had a happy ending.
Oh, speaking of happy endings, how about that man hug? How about that big man hug between...
We'll be talking about that in stand-up news.
Almost Brokeback Mountain. Not quite. It wasn't quite the tipper kiss, but it was very touching. Oh.
It was more real than the tipper kiss.
Yeah, it's true.
It was real emotion in
it. The tipper kiss was just like two plungers going at it.
And that... All right. Al Gore yesterday.
To the thousands upon thousands of people who have held Laura and Yuna in their prayers, who have written letters and called and sent emails... We're very, very grateful.
By the way, Dick Morris was like, oh, yeah, they should have just stayed in the... By the way, you know, when people say hard labor, do you know what that means in North Korea in a gulag? It means probably rape and torture, and it doesn't just mean, oh, they got to do dishes
rocks,
or something.
Yeah,
I know. Judy in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Judy.
Hi, Steph. You know, I called the other day to tell you about the healthcare rally and then Chicago, and we were going to break at the face, you know, and all that.
But yeah.
We didn't break at the face. We did our version of it. The Chicago police kept the teabaggers across the street from the Federal Plaza, so they could not interfere with the speakers, and everybody was able to get their message out loud and clear.
Oh, well, good.
So that's what has to be done. You have to push the teabaggers to the back of the room.
Okay. All right.
Seems like it would be hard for the teabaggers to get their message out. Might be a little muffled. Never mind.
Louise Ward.
I'm just saying.
The teabaggers wanted to go in the back door? Is that what she's saying?
Hey, you know, it's been done before.
All right. Of all the moments, first of all, that I thought were classy yesterday, Bill Clinton didn't speak at all.
Right.
He didn't say anything. He stayed in the background, in fact, at the airport so that the families could reunite.
And provided hugs.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And President Obama gave Bill Clinton all the credit.
Mm-hmm.
It's extraordinary. President Obama said yesterday he's extraordinarily relieved that Una Lee and Laura Ling are back home safely with their families.
The reunion that we've all seen on television, I think, is a source of happiness, not only for the families, but for the entire country. I want to thank President Bill Clinton. I had a chance to talk to him for the extraordinary humanitarian effort that resulted in the release of the two journalists. I want to thank Vice President Al Gore, who worked tirelessly in order to achieve a positive outcome.
Oh, it was just a made-for-TV moment, wasn't it? Didn't you want them to play Don't Stop Thinking About Tomorrow when you saw Clinton and Gore up there again and get Hillary out there clapping again? I'm like, oh, good times here again.
Hillary, Al kissing Tipper again.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Doing the Macarena.
No.
It's 1996 all over
all
again.
All over again. It's magical. Yes, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton yesterday.
We've always considered that a totally separate issue from our efforts to reengage the North Koreans and have them return to the six-party talks.
And by the way, she denied reports, I'm going to guess, that were on the Fox News. What the Fox? That Bill Clinton had apologized during the visit to Pyongyang. She said that is not true. That did not occur. So Dick Morris, in addition to being a, what was the word, porcine narcissist?
Yes.
Yes.
You're a lying sack of crap.
Literally.
You're a lying sack of crap.
That's my theory.
You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
I think Fox News sometimes tells fibs.
What?
Huh? That's crazy.
Hillary talked about her conversation with Bill on the phone. By the way, women everywhere will recognize this. You do all the hard work and then your husband gets all the credit. She said he was just so relieved and happy it had been successful. He said it was very emotional. It was personally affecting to him, adding that their daughter Chelsea is a similar age to the two journalists. And Bill was happy there was a happy ending. It's you know what? This
yeah,
is story
a massage parlor on board the plane.
I just don't think you should use the word Bill Clinton, two young girls, and happy ending in the same sentence is all I'm saying. That's my idea. Just saying.
I keep telling you, though, they're not his type. They're too skinny.
Yeah, they got to add a few LBs.
Yeah.
For daddy to get excited.
Okay. Lisa Ling yesterday.
They had worked together for a while, not directly, and they actually were kept apart most of the time. In fact, I think that they saw each other very early on for a couple of days in the beginning, and then they were separated for the duration of the 4.5 months. So I think on the day of their trial, they hugged each other, and that was it. In fact, one time on the phone, and we only had 4 conversations with Laura throughout this time, she said, "Will you please write a letter to Una and tell her that I'm thinking about her and I love her?"
Yeah, so you really would have thought this is just sort of an American moment, just kind of a moment for everybody to be happy. First of all, North Korea got nothing for this.
They got a couple of pictures.
What did we lose? Yeah, they got a couple pictures.
Yeah,
Kim Jong-il's got another photo for the mantle.
Yes.
Look at me, posing with world leader. I have big shot.
By the way, why was that picture so fuzzy? It looked like big, like Sasquatch or something.
They had 1992 digital cameras in North Korea.
They use a brownie Hawkeye?
Yeah.
No, I think they had to sort of Vaseline on the lens so Kim would look young.
So he looked better, yeah.
Yeah.
John Bolton.
Kim Jong-il saw these two journalists as pawns in a larger strategic struggle.
Whatever.
Principally over the nuclear weapons program, but in part due to the succession issue as his health has deteriorated.
Whatever. Who cares?
Yeah.
Okay, Carl Rove.
It could, over the long haul, not be a good thing. We're going to have to live with the consequences of this.
Uh-huh.
The question is, next time there's something that North Korea does bad, are they going to insist upon, you know, what? You know, the sitting president or the sitting vice president? What does this message say to others who grab a hold of Americans? What's the next time? What's going to happen the next time this happens someplace else in the world?
57 minutes after the hour, right back with Eric Bollert from Media Matters on The Stephanie Miller Show.
ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Representative Chris Murphy, Democrat of the great state of Connecticut, coming up on the Celebrity Hotline this hour to talk about health care, cash for clunkers.
Whatever.
Etc.
Yes.
All right. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Savoy, voice deity Jim Ward, me, Stephanie Miller. Go to the calendar section at StephanieMiller.com. Party's in Seattle this Saturday, everybody. You can find out how to get tickets at the calendar section. It's the Big Town Hall, starring me, Tom Hartman, Bill Press, Mike Malloy, and Ron Reagan. Come on out and partay with Mama in Seattle. Speaking of parties, as if the party could get any better this morning. Why?
The past 140 days.
Oh, sorry. I forgot we have sound bites first. Laura Ling yesterday at the reunion.
The past 140 days have been the most difficult, heart-wrenching time of our lives. We are very grateful that we were granted amnesty by the government of North Korea, and we are so happy to be home.
All right, and the president on health care yesterday.
I am glad that in the Senate Finance Committee there have been a couple of Republicans, Chuck Grassley, Mike Enzi, Olympia Snow, who've been willing to negotiate with Democrats to try to produce a bill. But they haven't yet. And I think at some point, sometime in September, we're just going to have to make an assessment.
Thank you. All right. Now, if only the party could get back. Whoa, who is it, Jim?
It's that senior fellow from Media Matters for America, Eric Bullard.
Good morning, Eric. How are you?
Good, and you?
I how can I not be happy when we have Orly Tates as the leader of the Republican Party now? Did you see her on the MSNBC?
I saw the clip, yeah. I heard her on Michael Savage this week. She's it's interesting because she was on the Savage show, and basically she sort of came clean. The reason she's pushing this whole birther thing, she seems to be less interested in the birth certificate, but she's doing it because Obama is a communist. And that's her fear that he's taking over the country. So it's funny when she talks to folks on the fringes, she's a little more forthcoming about why she's leading this conspiracy theory. And it doesn't really have much to do with the birth certificate. He's a communist.
Are you inferring that Michael Savage is not mainstream, Eric? Isn't that sure?
Not in the loving hands of the New Yorker magazine. He's just a misunderstood fun guy.
That he's judging
world,
the sanity
yes,
of his.
He's on the fringe and he is a hate monger in the real world.
Right. Well, I mean, you know what's startling, I think, is that what is this poll? I'm sure you've seen nearly 60% of Republicans either don't know or aren't sure if the president is American.
Yeah, I mean, that was really amazing. I mean, just when you thought the story was going to come to a landing and just sort of fade away, I mean, it's been 12 months. I don't know why people are assuming it'll ever fade away. But right, then the poll came out late last week, and it's just amazing. I mean, that I think helps explain why so many members of Congress have been reluctant to just sort of come out and say, forcefully, you know, this is crazy, and of course he's a U.S. citizen, et cetera, and a lot of them have been sort of too cute by a half in their wording, and we know why, because it apparently is the base of the Republican Party that feels this way.
Well, that's what's really, you know, it's funny. I mean, it's easy to make fun of this, Eric, but there is like another, you know, really a darker side of this
absolutely.
I think is just obviously racism. It really is just this whole thing they started during the campaign. That just he's other. He's not one of us.
That's right. He's foreign. He's suspect. He's not legitimate. And he doesn't belong in the White House. I mean, you have to go back to that birther YouTube video from Representative Castle of Delaware that sort of jump-started a lot of this conversation. That woman got up and was yelling and screaming about Obama, and one of the lines she yelled the loudest is, "I want my country back."
Mm-hmm.
And that is sort of the tell to this whole thing, that Obama's not legit. You know, it's not like he won a squeaker. It's not like that was the close election last fall. But apparently lots of Republicans, lots of conservatives, no longer adhere to sort of, you know, democracy or general voting patterns, and they decide who's legitimate and who's illegitimate.
Right. Well, as you note in Media Matters this week, Lou Dobbs described it as Congressman Lloyd Doggett faced an angry but respectful audience at a town meeting in Austin. I mean, that's the thing. It's all the same people that are ginning these people up. You quote Lou Dobbs as saying, "I love it when the audience of this broadcast is engaged and making their voices heard, and you're getting louder by the day. It's an amazing thing to watch. What started at the April 15th and July 4th tea parties continuing this weekend as congressmen left town for the August recess." So, you know, it's these guys. It's the Hannitys and the Limbaughs and the Lou Dobbs that are really activating these crazies, aren't they?
Absolutely. They ran to the front of the birther line, and now they're running to the front of what I call the mini mob line, and they're whipping up this hysteria. And look, I mean, if you think Obama was born in Kenya, of course you don't want him in charge of your health care. I mean, it's not a far leap to make this connection.
Right.
And Republicans say, oh, you know, birthers have nothing to do with this. Again, I get all my news from Michael Savage. They had one of the leaders, another one of these, you know, leaders of the conspiracy theory, saying, oh, we got to use these town hall forums. If people ask enough questions about the birth certificate, you know, we're going to drive him from office. So there's no separation. It's the birthers, it's the mini mobs, and people might look at it like, why are these people whipped into such a frenzy? A, Glenn Beck is telling them the government is going to pick and choose which old people they will kill.
Yeah. Right.
And second, he's born in Kenya, and he shouldn't have been elected in the first place.
Well, it's
this hysteria that's being whipped
up. Well, yeah, and you're great at Media Matters. I mean, these are, you know, actual quotes. You post the audio or the actual, but I mean, Lou Dobbs, what's really crazy about this is all the President of the United States has to do is produce a birth certificate.
Right.
I mean, Chuck Norris wrote that yesterday. He's been kicked in the head like 75,000 times.
Right.
I mean, here's the thing. I'm not even sure what are they still basing this on. I mean, when Hawaii has said this is the birth certificate, I don't even get what they're trying to still base this on.
Well, that is sort of the short form of the live birth, the certificate of live birth, and compared to most states, it's not what most states use, and most states would have what's sort of called this long form, which is the original, here's the doctor in the hospital signing off. The state of Hawaii doesn't use that. The state of Hawaii uses these other forms. And so this gives them an out and say, you know, we just want the original paperwork. And it reminds me of, you know, the Whitewater years when, you know, Dan Burton was saying, well, I just need some more Whitewater documents. You know, if we could just get our hands on more Whitewater material, we really want to put this to rest, and we just want to answer all the questions.
Yeah, we're just trying to help you, President Clinton. Why won't you believe that?
Do another document dump, and then they would just concoct more, you know, more conspiracies, and this is what's happening here.
And,
you know, we want, you know, the White House is supposed to, you know, look at these birthers and say, okay, these are fair-minded people. Let's give them a little bit more documentation, and I'm sure this will all be put to bed by next Thursday.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and the other thing is, it seems to me like when you're right on the issues, like I believe Democrats are on health care, you're not afraid to have a debate. It seems like on the right, they're not trying to have a debate. They're trying to disrupt these meetings. They're trying to shout people down. I mean, and you've got, you know, you note in Media Matters this week, Hannity saying, so far at these town hall meetings, you're doing terrific.
Right.
At Limbaugh saying, town hall protests are not ginned up. It's genuine. It's real. These are orderly people, not unruly mobs. And we can see the video, Eric.
Yeah. And the whole point, it's interesting, is that it is, as you say, just to sort of shut down any sort of public discourse. And it's not like they have another plan that they want to talk about. It's not like the Republican Party has an alternative to health care. They simply want to, you know, put the kibosh on any attempt.
Right. They just want to scare people about change.
Right. Because our current health care is so inexpensive and efficient, why would anyone want to touch it?
Yeah.
But no, it really is. It's important because they don't have a plan that they're pushing. They simply want to shut down any public debate. And, you know, you go back to 2005 when Bush tried to, push privatization of Social Security. I mean, there was pushback then, but the Democrats and progressives, their strategy wasn't let's shout down everyone, let's threaten people, let's hang, you know, politicians in effigy. It was let's talk about the facts, and we have the facts on our side, and we're going to win this debate, and they did. But this is just, I mean, it's basically just hooliganism.
Well, I think it's what, you know, I know the president's, sent out a mass email yesterday saying, I think we have to activate our side then, you know what I mean, to have people that really want to go to these town halls to have a discussion and keep it civilized,
well,
you know?
Well, I think, yeah, but I don't think it is possible to keep it civilized. I think we're this is a prescription for violence, because eventually enough, you know, local liberals or Democrats are going to get fed up, and they're going to show up at these town hall meetings, and they're going to start yelling and screaming, and then we're going to have the mini bombs yelling and screaming.
Yeah.
I mean, it's literally only a matter of time before we see, you know, police separating people.
Yeah.
And that's what they wanted. That's sort of the end game, I think.
Oy vey. All right. Well, not if you can help it, Eric Bollert, because you are a senior fellow, sir, at Media Matters for America. Thanks for taking time for us, as always.
Talk to you soon.
All right. There he goes. Eric
Bollert.
A senior fellow.
I think the whole point of these protests is to point out that he's black.
Yeah, that's the point. Tim and Madison on the town halls. Hey, Tim.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
You know, I look at it this way. One, the Bertha Mutant, the oily taint, she just needs to go away.
Pardon me?
Oily taint, or whatever her name is.
Yes, oily taint.
Go away. Okay, she needs to go away. But
you're lucky that she even performs for you. She she was very annoyed that she even had to take time to dispute this forgery. This
Leave her alone! You're lucky she even performed for you, bastard!
That's right, Tim. You tell all your communist friends that. All right. Susan in Canton, Ohio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Suze.
Susan from Ohio.
That's you.
Hey.
Hello.
When I was leaving this morning, hey, by the way, I love you guys.
Thank you. I thought you were asking if I'm Susan from Ohio, and I'm almost certain that I'm not.
I don't think so. Anyway, I was leaving at my home, and I thought I heard this percentage of people now polled that 60-some% like their health care or are happy with it.
Yep.
And my head almost came off my body, and I thought, well, wait a minute. How many of those people are on Medicare? I want to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing, Suze. I think, as we've said, as you go along here, a lot of these polls end up being sort of all over the place, and I think it's how you phrase the question. You know, I think the poll we were...
Yeah, and are they including Medicare people?
Right.
I think
the poll we were quoting yesterday, I mean, you know, the vast majority were for the president's plan, but it actually, you know, on all the good points about it, the numbers were actually much higher than the people for it, you know?
Right.
So it was a weird kind of... this one, the CNN poll, I mean, the main headline out of it indicates a generational split, which is what I was talking about earlier with my 86-year-old mom.
Yes.
Americans appear split over President Obama's health care proposals, according to a new poll. 50% say they support the president's plan, 45% opposed. You know, again, showing, I think, some of this white noise and these lies that are out there are having an effect.
Mm-hmm.
But the results indicate a generational divide. Obama's plan is most popular among younger Americans and least popular among senior citizens. And as we were pointing out before, I think a lot of, at least my mom, like, she didn't even have a computer. They don't, you know, actually go online. So a lot of it is, it's like, oh, Fox News says, or Rush Limbaugh said, or this is what I heard at the bingo hall, or, you know what I mean? And it's like, this is what you get these women standing up in the supermarket asking the president, I understand that this will kill me. Will you decide when to kill me? It's like, no!
It's frustrating.
Yeah.
Very frustrating.
Yeah. A majority of Americans over the age of 50 oppose Obama's plan. A majority of those under 50 support it. The poll indicates 7 in 10 Americans say they're very or somewhat likely to attend these town halls. So a lot of people want to attend. Nearly half of those who oppose the Obama plan say they're more likely to attend town hall meetings to express their views. Only 37% of those who support Obama's plan are likely to attend. That's what I'm afraid of, is that the right is ginning up these people that, you know, and they're just screaming socialism and just say no, and like, it's not even, you know, that's the thing, is people that I think understand the plan aren't ginned up, but I think that's why we do have to activate to get our side out as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all right, 20 minutes after the hour, back with more on the healthcare at town halls and what the president had to say about them as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Huh, that was kind of cool.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Sharon in North Carolina on the town halls. Hey, Sharon.
Hi.
Hi.
Can I be the official plant lady of the Stephanie Miller Show?
By all means.
I just wanted to let you know that Congressman Shuler, is what he's doing to get around these folks disrupting these town hall meetings is he's having us do a computer town hall. We'll log in and do it that way, and that way he'll actually be able to get questions from folks and actually have a discussion instead of letting these folks use their Nazi tactics of trying to...
Right. I mean, they're trying to just, you know, create YouTube moments to embarrass Democratic senators and create the Democratic congressmen or senators and try to create the illusion that everybody is against the health care reform.
Well, and this is exactly what the Nazis did back... You know, when Hitler was coming to power, you know, they would just get and shout down people so that you couldn't actually have debates over things. And
well, if you can't be right, you should be loud and listen to right-wing radio.
Yes. There's also a lot of murder involved. The Social Democrats were by far the largest party in Germany at the time, and a lot of them wound up dead.
Vinny and Mr. Happy Pants over there. Vinny in D.C., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on our birther friends.
Yeah, Steph, hey, great to talk to you.
Thank you.
I have one question. When did this birther movement start? Was it before Obama's grandmother died or after?
Who's after?
Right, so they had nobody to, you know.
Nobody to vouch for.
Her grandmother was going to actually be there and say, I saw the birth, wouldn't she?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Although, as Bill Maher said, even if they had video of the birth with Don Ho singing in the background, they wouldn't believe it. Exactly.
Even if they could produce a 48-year-old placenta, they still wouldn't believe it.
No. Samuel in Los Angeles on Town Halls. Hi, Sam.
Hey, how you doing, Steph?
Good. Go ahead.
Check this out. Don't you remember that, what was it, Lee Atwater? Remember those days in the South where they would, when they would campaign, they would scare all the white people, all the black people were going to eat them, anybody of color were going to move in their neighborhood and rape them and do all of that. And they're using, you know, this is the same thing. That's where Karl Rove learned his skill.
Yep.
Now, here's the solution. Okay? They should have all the things for the Democrats as far as talking about health care and all of that, right? And then what they do, is suddenly move it secretly so when all the nuts show up to that location, they're somewhere else.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Let's go to, it's like Battleship.
Yeah.
Mike and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yes. I haven't seen any of these cowards at Ed Schultz Tour for Change, and I'm guessing none of them will show up this Saturday with you and Mike Malloy and Ron Reagan and Tom Harbin. They'd, probably
well, because that's because Ed Schultz is a former quarterback, and he could crush them. he could crush them with one hand.
Well, I think they can crush them intellectually as well. Yeah. I mean, we speak from the heart, and they speak from the bank account, I guess.
Yep, absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right. Ed Schultz could crush them like a Democratic woman's ankle that seems to be shattering regularly. Who was the latest one? Oh, Barbara Mikulski.
Yeah.
Barbara Mikulski broke her ankle. Sonia Sotomayor. Hillary Clinton's elbow. What's going on?
There seems to be a plague of weak bones.
Calcium deficiency.
Yeah, exactly. We need to get...
It's a Republican plot, somehow.
All right, 28 minutes after the hour, back with Congressman Chris Murphy, Democrat of the great state of Connecticut, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, if loving
Stephanie Miller
is lame, then I guess I'm just a big lame.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. As we continue the healthcare debate, if only there was somebody that knew a little. Who is it, Jim?
Oh, from the great state of Connecticut, it's Representative Chris Murphy.
Good morning, Congressman.
How are you?
I'm good. Listen, I don't have to do town halls, so I'm fine.
This is these town halls these days aren't exactly out of Norman Rockwell paintings, but they're interesting nonetheless.
Do we have, the president actually addressed this yesterday, the town hall protests. I don't know if you heard this or not. The president yesterday.
They don't want to be constructive. They just want to get in the usual political fights back and forth. And sometimes that's fed by all the cable chatter on the media. But you and I know the truth. This country wasn't built just by griping and complaining. It was built by hard work and taking risks.
What is your plan with your town halls this August?
Well, we did one last night. I actually don't normally do town halls. I normally set up a card table outside of a supermarket, and I did that last night, and the supermarket called the cops because we had 150 people show
really?
Up chanting. Wow. And yelling. And, we ended up being able to sort of move off to another section of the supermarket parking lot and have, what I think was actually a pretty reasonably constructive dialogue. But, as the president mentioned, there are a lot of people who show up that are, not interested in any health care reform, that are just interested in shutting this whole process down. And, that's not what my constituents want. My constituents, even those that are, maybe a little skeptical about what they've read or seen about the proposal, they want things to change. The problem with some of these town hall meetings is that they get dominated by folks who, just want, for political reasons, the president and the president's plan to fail.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And that's the thing. It doesn't seem like, any of you are afraid to have a real discussion about health care. Because, if you're actually having a meaningful conversation, I think we win on the issues.
Well, and listen, we have to do a lot of work to debunk some of the mythology that's out there. The fact that there are still people that believe there's a provision in the bill that's going to allow the government to come in and pull life support off of senior citizens,
yeah,
to the extent that folks really think that Barack Obama is using the public option as a straw man for socialist health care, it's not that hard to walk people through what the bill actually says. I think that some of these debates, if you can get the folks who are shouting to the back of the room, actually can start to cut through a lot of the, mythology / absolute fabrications that are being perpetuated by some of these right-wing websites.
Right, absolutely. But, it's funny, as you're talking to me, I'm on my Yahoo page, and it you can vote. It just says Obama socialist, and then you can vote. It's because that's this talking point they keep putting out there, right?
Well, I had somebody last night tell me, Obama has said that the public option is his way to get socialist medicine. I said, really? Has he said that? He said, he said it 4 or 5 times. I said, listen, I would be glad to have you email me the newspaper in which he's quoted saying that. There are folks out there that want to believe whatever is necessary to sort of fulfill the ideology that they have. Now, I think that's the sort of real fringe of this debate. I think most people out there, even those people that are sort of not sold yet on the plan, want to have a constructive dialogue, and that's going to be our challenge over August, is to find ways to do that.
What other, Representative, what other things are you hearing? I mean, what are the questions? I mean, in terms of, you can look at polls, but, you obviously talk to constituents all the time. What are the main fears or things that we have to combat in August?
I think it's two things. I mean, people really want to know what this means for them. All of the sort of big 16,000-foot policy debates are great, but they want to know what it means for them. And I think the biggest thing is that for the 60% or so of people out there that have insurance and are happy with it, they want to know that they're going to be able to keep that if they want. And obviously the answer to that question is unequivocally yes, that if you have insurance and you want it, you can keep it. But I think that as people hear all this chatter from the other side, they doubt that. And so I think making people understand that we're going to give you more options if you aren't happy with your insurance, and we're going to help people who don't have it find something affordable. I think that's number one. Number two is the cost. People, I think, are really have an acute sense of the amount of money that this country owes, and they want to know that this bill isn't going to add to the debt. Now, the president has laid that down as a very clear marker, but we've got to make that more clear to people.
Mm-hmm. I know that one of the things we've heard over and over again is, I've heard you're going to take my Medicare away. I mean, again, this is sort of scaring seniors has been one of the rallying cries, I think, on the right. I know you were quoted after the House passed your version as talking about things, for instance, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services would have to bring down costs by processing claims electronically. You say that could save $10 to $15 billion a year annually. So, I mean, this bill is only going to help and strengthen Medicare and Medicaid, right?
Well, and listen, I got elected in 2006 running against the architect of the Medicare prescription drug program. I got sent to Washington to fix the absolutely ridiculously structured Medicare prescription drug benefit that leaves seniors without coverage for a good part of the year. Our bill fills in the donut hole, ends one of the, I think, most hurtful healthcare policies that this Congress has ever passed. So for the millions of seniors that have been paying through the nose for drugs when they thought they had coverage, this is going to help them.
Yep.
So, yeah, we've got to make it. Listen, there's a reason why AARP has not only signed on to support this bill, but is out there on the hustings pushing it hard, because they know it's good for seniors. Now, you also get people showing up to the town hall who says, you know, listen, you know, I love my Medicare. You know, make sure the government stays away from it. So you got to. So you also have to make people understand that for everybody that likes Medicare out there, you know, that's government-sponsored medicine.
Right. Well, my mom is 86 and on Medicare, and I know exactly what you mean. There's a medicine that she needs, but I know that I've heard that she can't get it to a certain time because it's not covered, and that's ridiculous. And yet, you know, this latest CNN poll you've probably seen, it's like there's a generational shift that older people are much less for the president's program. But I think the right wing is scaring them because change is scarier, I think, to older people who don't know what it means.
Listen, I mean, that's I walked away from that meeting last night with 150 people, spilling over into a supermarket parking lot. I mean, feeling somewhat empowered that, I went to Congress, and a lot of us went to Congress to make some big changes, to try to fix some big problems. And with that comes significant resistance. With that comes people that are going to try to use some pretty ridiculous scare tactics to retreat to in order to stop it from happening. So I don't have a problem with the heat of this debate. I think it just shows that we're making good on the mandate that President Obama was given last November to fix some pretty big problems in this country and not wait around.
And you know, the magical bonding moment that I have felt with you is that you are a esteemed congressman and I'm just a lowly radio host, and I too have done events at crappy card tables outside of supermarkets.
I actually have found it to be a fantastic way to take people's pulse. This was a little bit different because it became a little bit more of a manufactured event. But, I do not want to sit back and wait for people to call and email me. I mean, I want to be out there sort of grabbing people with their groceries on the way out. And for me, it's been a great way to make sure that I'm where my constituents are.
Well, my radio station's forced me to do it. But anyway, thank you for doing it for the American people. And thanks for taking time for us. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Stephanie.
All right, there he goes, Representative Chris Murphy.
Hooray!
I've done a lot of events at crappy card tables at supermarkets. Trust me.
Believe me, so have I. Try doing it in Phoenix, Arizona in the summertime at noon. Yeah, that's
not fun.
It's
not that bad. 42 minutes after the hour. Michael Steele says these health protests, they're not a Republican cabal.
No. That's crazy.
They're homegrown. We'll be back with all that as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God! That's like my favorite show ever!
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Steffi. Steffi.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Brian in Wisconsin on the healthcare debate. Hello, Brian.
Hi, how are you today?
Good, how are you?
What do you know, Stephanie, about the Patriots' Right Act?
Are you talking about the Patriot Act or a different... Oh, Patients' Right?
The Patients' Right... Yeah, the Patients' Right Act.
The Patients' Rights...
Patients' Rights Act?
What's your point exactly, Brian?
My point is you had a gentleman on a couple guests ago who said that the right doesn't have anything to offer, and that's absolutely wrong. Out of the first district...
Well, in this debate right now, Brian, they are not offering an alternative. They are offering essentially the status quo. So if you think nearly 50 million Americans uninsured, the way insurance costs you now, the fact that you can get dropped for pre-existing conditions, if you think that's all good, then that's the Republican plan.
It's not the Republican plan.
It is.
I know that it's not because you haven't... Well,
What is the Patients' Rights Act or whatever it is?
What the Patients' Rights Act is after is to take the money that is already being used and use it more efficiently. I think one thing that Americans for a long time have agreed on, is, no matter what your political stripes, is that the government is terrible at spending money.
Ask someone who's in the VA system.
Or Medicare. Medicare. It's working
very well. Those work very well.
Well, even before Medicare D, which was something that, you know, people say that the Republicans are sinking the ship with Medicare D. But even before that, Medicare was showing a...
Look, Brian, let's derail this argument for a second, because we always get into the same arguments on the left and right. I get what you're saying. Oh, the government, you know, can't run anything. But I think that you have to look at, you know, government. When we say government, it's just people, Brian. It's like you and me. We're just people. The government is other people. Like FEMA, for instance. When it was run under Bill Clinton, it worked really well.
After the 94 earthquake, it worked very well out here.
Yeah, out here in Northridge, we can talk about how FEMA worked during the Northridge quake in 94 out here in California.
George Bush and
Katrina.
Would
you agree that FEMA did not work well under George Bush during Hurricane Katrina?
See, now, Stephanie, what you've used right there is a fallacy. This is a is an editorial instrument used.
Okay, you think FEMA worked well under George Bush during Hurricane Katrina?
No, but what was my point when I called in?
I don't know, but I befuddled you with facts. Honestly.
Yes, that's right.
Apparently he didn't have one. Otherwise, we have heard it by
now.
See,
he doesn't remember his
right.
Because I made too many other good ones since then.
Right. And if he doesn't think that the VA is the best system that we can offer our veterans, then...
And if the Patients' Rights Act is so wonderful, why can't he tell us what it is?
Yeah,
and what
he couldn't.
What does it do exactly?
The dog ate that part of his talking point
points.
From FreedomWorks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Brought to you by the health insurance industry. I'm trying to just, because that's the thing, is that they say one thing that it becomes common wisdom.
Right.
Like, oh, the government can't write. Like, this Cash for Clunkers, it's hilarious that they're trying to say this is an example of something that is not well
programmed. It's a failure.
This was an this is exactly how it was meant to run. It was an experiment. It worked wildly successfully, and so now that they're going great, this is a part of the stimulus that is really working. And I don't even know how you have that argument.
I don't.
But they're like, oh, see, the government can't run anything. It ran out of money. It's like, well, that's why they only funded this much, so they could go, let's see if this works. And then, you know.
And it worked beautifully.
Yes.
So it looks like, well, we're going to have it for another month.
Mm-hmm.
Hooray.
Okay. Kim in Columbus on Oily Taint. Hello, Kim. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well,
welcome.
Her name is Oily Taint.
Hello.
Of course it is. Where did you hear that? On the Roger Hedgehog Show?
Cock.
Pardon me?
Roger Hedgecock.
Oh, pardon me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hi, Kim.
Hi. How are you?
I'm fine.
Okay, I was calling for two things. First of all, I just ordered my birth certificate from Florida, and they're only issuing out short-form birth certificates, and I'm pretty sure that I am still American. I was born in 79, and I think Florida was a state. The second thing I wanted to say...
I don't know. It's kind of suspicious and tropical, much like Hawaii.
Yeah. The other thing I was going to say is that I am going to launch a campaign to check out Orly Tate's background, because I don't think she was a natural-born citizen.
It is kind of funny that someone that sounds like Natasha on Boris and Natasha is questioning the president's
I don't think
Americanism.
She's a real American. What sort of person talks like that?
Boris!
Natasha, put sock in it. You sound like idiot.
Boris, president, not American. All right.
That's a good Natasha.
Yeah. Thank you. I just whipped out my one little impression. So there, Jim.
Wow, you can do someone besides Katharine Hepburn.
Rich. Rich in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Rich.
Hi. Hi, Stephanie. Long-time listener.
Thank you.
First-time caller. Anyway, what I called about was Fox News. You know, Fox News. They get a lot of their money from Fox Sports, so maybe we should stop listening to Fox Sports, the baseball, the football, everything.
Oh, I wouldn't bother, but all right. Okay, knock yourself out.
My black friend Rodney?
Yes, the official black best friend of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, he works for Fox,
uh-huh.
And he's constantly embarrassed that Fox News is a part of his company. He works, you know, for 20th Century Fox. And so, yeah.
It's not that Fox, no relation.
Yeah,
well, you get The Simpsons, and then you get Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Sorry. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away.
That's right.
Okay. So Michael Steele says that the health care procrastinate is, that's completely organic.
What?
The Obama administration is arrogant to look down at protesters at town hall events across the country who've
been bussed in.
Yes.
And probably paid by the insurance industry.
He denies that Republicans have organized the protests despite all of the evidence to the contrary in writing and on websites.
Right.
The administration has the arrogance to look down their nose at the protesters, still said, to sit back and say this is some sort of Republican cabal.
Yeah, it's a Republican cabal.
Is some baloney. Okay, wait, listen to this. This is the most confusing thing Michael Steele has said recently.
And that's saying something.
Yeah. To sit back and say this is some sort of Republican cabal is some baloney, and you can substitute that B with something else if you want.
What an
just
idiot.
The B, or does he meant the whole word?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
baloney is spelled with a B as well.
And not B-U-L-L-S.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
God, he's embarrassing.
He was
wow.
He was trying to imply a dirty word, but he even screwed that up.
He did screw it up.
Okay.
Big time.
I can't believe he's... Wow.
Robert,
and they think he's
really
a leader?
Robert Gibbs, White House press secretary.
There are groups that are have spread out people across the country to go to these things and to specifically generate videos that can be posted on internet sites.
Thank you, Senator Jay Rockefeller, about the town halls as well. Senator Rockefeller.
It disrupts the message. The story becomes the disruption, not the message.
By the by, he loves me some Senator Rockefeller. He has been echoing the president's shift because the president has said he is determined to get health care reform by the end of the year, if necessary, without bipartisan support. His comments reflected a growing sense among Democrats that they may have to carry the legislation to expand coverage and try to control medical costs with votes from lawmakers of their own party or at best a handful of Republicans. Jay Rockefeller said the time is closing in. We cannot finish this year without passing major health care reform. It's our sacred duty to the American people. He said negotiations with Republicans have only resulted in a bill that gets weaker and weaker and weaker. Everything is being focused on will three Republicans cooperate or will they not? And I say good for you, Senator Rockefeller. The president said yesterday we will pass health care reform by the end of the year. He said sometime in September we're going to have to make an assessment about whether to keep trying to negotiate with Republicans. He said we would prefer Republicans working with us, but that getting his main priorities for health care overhaul are more important. So I say yay for that.
Bully. You know, when over half the Republicans believe that the president wasn't born in America, that's a huge audience for the kind of crap that Michael Steele is spewing.
Yeah.
No, it's arrogant to put him down like that.
Sharon,
that's whack.
Sharon in Wisconsin. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Town Halls. Hey, Sharon.
Hi, Steph. I'm kind of embarrassed to be from Wisconsin after that last caller.
That's all right. Go ahead.
Okay. Anyways, I had heard on the news here that in Green Bay, Steve Kagan had gotten shouted down so bad that he couldn't say it hardly anything. So I went to Tuesday's meeting in Appleton, and I was able to shush a lot of people. I wasn't yelling and screaming, except for one time an elderly lady got up and started yelling that she didn't want the government getting into her health care.
Into her Medicare.
Medicare. Uh-huh. Well,
which is
that's
government.
What I yelled to her is, aren't you on Medicare? And she shut up right away. But there were three of us that pretty much shushed a lot of people, and it did help. He was able to get a few points across, but these people are nuts. And they did pass out flyers in the beginning about how at the age of 65, it's going to be mandatory every 5 years to get counseled on how to end your life. And
oh, dear
God. It had, like, 7 points.
Oh, dear God. Go be an official shusher at the town halls. Just shush, you. We need to send Sister Mary Oliphant in.
Uh-oh.
Class. Class. 57 minutes after the hour. Back with Tinsel Talk and more on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Go to the calendar section. Get tickets to come see Mama in Seattle. Parties in Seattle on Saturday night. The big town hall with me, Tom Hartman, Mike Malloy, Bill Press, and Ron Reagan. Find out if you can get tickets and come to Seattle. Tom Hartman's right next door.
I believe so.
I'm going to go pinch his butt later.
Well, make sure it's Tom Hartman.
Yeah. Ooh, I just saw a back of a head that looked like Tom Hartman, so don't quote me on that, but he might be.
Might have been Phil Hartman. Oh, no.
No, that... Jim.
All right.
Jim Louise Ward.
All right. We are still basking in the magical afterglow of the return of the American journalist yesterday. Everybody's happy except, well... Noted hothead John Bolton on the Fox News.
Kim Jong-il saw these two journalists as pawns in a larger strategic struggle, principally over the nuclear weapons program, but in part due to the succession issue as his health has deteriorated.
So my point is, I think we should have bombed and killed everybody, including those two Americans, so we wouldn't have them as a bargaining chip.
Yeah.
Would have solved everything.
Whilst listening to John Bolton, one might like to keep in mind that he's a little bit crazy.
Secretariat building in New York has 38 stories. If you lost 10 stories today, it would make a bit of difference. This kind of mindless creation of the United Nations as something different from what it's in the United States' interest to do isn't going to sell here or anywhere else.
All right, he was echoed by Dick Morris, who also said they should have stayed in a prison for 12 years just because.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose. He also had some thoughts on health care.
You're giving him
my life,
flat out F.
Really?
He took office. There was a $3 trillion government spending. Now it's $4 trillion. He took office. The federal budget deficit was $1 trillion. Now it's $2 trillion. He took office. We had a health care system, have a health care system that's the envy of the world. He's doing everything he can to cut Medicare.
The health care system's not the envy of the world. Come on.
He has extended the recession. He has created a budget deficit that will trigger massive inflation. He has created he's federalized the auto industry, and he's never going to be able to get rid of it. And he's threatening to destroy our healthcare system and outsource our manufacturing. What would you give him? An F is a promotion.
But even Bill O'Reilly wasn't buying
God.
That. Healthcare system that's an envy of the what?
We number 36 with a bullet.
Wow. David in Minnesota says, hi, Steph and the Mook. Toe sucker Dick Morris reminds me of the Penguin as played by Danny DeVito. He does. He is winded by a run-on sentence. We have his thoughts, I believe, on the North Korean situation.
It's an outrage. An outrage, I tell you. Where does Bill Clinton get off? You would think he used to be president or something with the Secret Service and his so-called diplomacy that gave Kim Jong-il the secrets to Cold Fusion and the recipe for Colonel Sanders' fried chicken. And for what? To bring home a couple of tarts and needed to be taught a lesson about consequences? And don't go showing me stupid video of weeping women being all grateful and happy. Weeping women don't affect me. Believe me, I know about weeping women. I can't tell you how many I've seen leave my bedroom as fast as they can, sobbing their hearts out. If these gals have to live with the consequences of their choices, so do these two, quote, reporters, unquote. Besides, I bet there wasn't a single toe-sucking session in any of the prisons they were held in, and I'm sure the North Koreans didn't inflict a porcine narcissist on them demanding sexual favors. Not even they are that depraved. No, they should have died in North Korea. Hillary should die in North Korea. Bill Clinton especially should die in North Korea, and you know why. Because he gave Kim Jong-un one of his old little black books, that's why. And that was supposed to be mine. Now Kim's going to get all the action, while I have to use an assumed name with all the escort services and pay for psychotherapy for all these hookers I traumatized. Curse you, Bill Clinton, and the whores he rode in on. I hate you.
Okay.
Oh, dear. We've killed another one.
It's my new favorite. Dick Morris. All right. He does. He just becomes a Muttley. Stiley Whiplash's dog.
Or one of the wacky racers.
Yeah.
Okay. Eric in Ohio writes, hey, Steph, how disappointing was Bill Clinton's rescue of those two journalists? No flight suit, no mission accomplished banner draped across the door of the hangar. He didn't even wear a giant codpiece, because he doesn't need one. The least he could have done was make it all about him. Instead, he just stood off to the side and allowed Lee and Ling to be the story. I never thought I'd miss George W. Bush's bravado, and as it turns out, I don't. Eric in Ohio. All right. By the way, I think we all know that I believe the children are the future.
I believe the children are the future.
That's right. How do I prove that, Chris? By not having any. That's
That's right. You're not polluting this earth with your spawn.
Yes.
Thank you for
reason
that.
Reason number 7,634 why I'm not a mother, because this would be me. Drunk mom pepper sprays daughters.
Oh.
That would be me. A Tempe woman was arrested on aggravated assault after she began pepper spraying her two daughters during an argument. Michelle Anton displayed signs of alcohol impairment.
Really?
Hmm.
What a shock.
Wow.
Uh-huh. She was upset because their daughters would not give her car keys, so she began pepper spraying them.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Listen, they got between me and my box wine. Okay. But you know why I really haven't had kids? Because I'm saving the planet.
Yes.
Have you seen this? If you want to really reduce your carbon footprint, stop breeding, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
A study by statisticians.
We all have a zero carbon footprint.
Exactly.
Three of us.
All the three of us childless losers are saving the planet.
That's right.
A study shows the carbon legacy and greenhouse gas impact of an extra child is almost 20 times more important than some of the other environment-friendly practices people might employ during their entire lives. Things like driving a high-mileage car, recycling, or using energy-efficient appliances or light bulbs.
Wow. Forget all that stuff. Just get rid of your kids.
Exactly. Screw those stupid light bulbs. I have them anyway. See, I am. I am saving the planet, Chris, both by being a childless loser.
Yes.
And by barely ever leaving my home.
Well, that is true.
Mm-hmm. This is what you're all doing, all y'all breeding. You're adding 9,441 metric tons of carbon dioxide to the carbon legacy of the average parent, about 5.7 times the lifetime emissions for which, on average, a person is responsible. So there. Okay. The other magical way I'm saving the planet, Chris?
How?
Peeing in the shower. Thank you very much.
Oh, wow.
That's right.
We need to save water on this planet, and you mock me for this, but there are new television ads in Brazil. They're encouraging people to save water by peeing in the shower. Once again, I'm a good 5 to 10 minutes ahead of my time.
Brazil, you take a
wait a minute. It's easier for guys to aim for the drain. Do you just splash it all over the place?
It's not that hard. You can't really miss.
Do you squat over the drain?
You don't need to know the details of how I'm saving the planet.
I would like to know the details.
Just take my word for it.
I'll go in my camera phone and I'll watch.
Okay.
And I'll put it up on YouTube.
Okay.
So what if it splashes? You just get clean again. What's the problem?
That's disgusting.
That's why you're in the shower.
Ew!
Just don't poop in the shower.
You're a water waster.
That.
All right.
You don't poop in the shower, do
no.
you?
No.
Not intentionally.
Only after I've had to pepper spray the neighborhood children to give me my car keys to go get another box of wine.
By the way, I had an accident in the shower again. Get in here and clean it up. Somebody get a shovel.
Check some entertainment news.
Oh,
here we go.
Oh,
here we go.
There's no business like show business.
It's time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Wow. I'm still dizzy from that Dick Morris bit. I think I need to lie down. My brain is oxygen deprived. That's his problem.
Oh, God, they're going to have to do yet another version of Love Story based on Al Gore, and we're talking about
right.
that man hug on the tarmac. Clinton and Gore together again. It was a stirring scene. Bill Clinton, the former president, Al Gore, his former vice president, back together sharing a long and emotional hug as Mr. Clinton delivered back to American soil from captivity in North Korea two journalists who worked for Mr. Gore there on the tarmac in California where it was like Casablanca. It was just... They were the two dominant Democrats of the 1990s, having helped ease an international crisis on behalf of an administration in which Hillary Clinton serves as ex-Secretary of State. Oh, I was waiting for Fleetwood Mac and Macarena. On the campaign trail, and of course later in the White House, the two men and their spouses were friends, sharing a bus and jokes and warm embraces. Mr. Gore introducing Mr. Clinton at every stop, feeding off each other's riffs and energies, perhaps inevitably by the end of Mr. Clinton's second term. That relationship had turned into an estrangement, a bitter endnote to their 8 years together in Washington, which made the reunion all the more touching.
Turns out there's a microphone.
Oh, really?
Hello, Bill.
Hello, Al. It's been a while.
Yes. Yes, it has. I'm sorry things haven't been pleasant between us since 2000.
Yes. We both moved on with our lives.
I'm sorry I didn't let you campaign for me back then over that... Well, you know, incident. You might have put me over the top in Florida, and we wouldn't have had to have that whole recount kerfluffle.
Water under the bridge, my friend. Water under the bridge. What really matters is the here and now. Give me a hug, big guy. Who knows what tomorrow brings? In a world, few hearts survive. All I know is the way I feel. When it's real, I keep it alive. The road is long. There are mountains in our way. But we climb a step every day. Love lifts us up where we belong. Where the eagles cry on a mountain high. Love lifts us up where we belong. Far from the world below. Up where the clear winds blow. Time goes by. No time to cry. Life's you and I alive today. Love lift us up where... Okay, that's enough of that. Too much. Yeah. Although I must say, you're a very good kisser. Thanks. Not so bad yourself. Whew. So, how about those Titans? Now, it's not even football season. Right. I guess I'll just see you around. Yep. Awkward.
Those aren't pillows. Okay. Oh, God, he's outside my house with a boombox again. Okay. And finally, the headline is, Celebrated Horse Gets Her Own Line of Wines.
Well, don't you wish you could?
Racing fans will soon be able to do more than toast Rachel Alexandra in the winner's circle. The Super Filly is about to get her own line of wines. Kendall Jackson Winery announced yesterday a limited edition of wines honoring their three-year-old will be ready for the holiday season. Oh, how festive.
I'm delighted that Kendall Jackson has decided to release wines with my name and image. I'm a bit of an oenophile myself. I find the Zin to be a little heavy on the tannins, but the Sauvignon Blanc's delightful citrus and melon notes pairs very well with hay. The Shard's a little oaty to my taste, but that's just me. Oh, and I'm also appearing in Vogue. Ever since I beat the boys in the Preakness last May, I've been quite the cheval du jour. You might say I'm the Danica Patrick of the equestrian set. But racing is a young filly's game, so I have decided to set my sights higher. I'm currently in negotiations with the American Idol people. They've offered me $2 million, but my manager thinks I should hold out for 3.5.
No.
I know Simon's on board. Right, Simon?
I'd say you are definitely going to Hollywood Park. The only drawback from my perspective is that when I refer to old horse face over there, no one will know if I'm referring to you or Kara. I'm just being bitchy. Honest.
That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward Falderall.
Check out Jim Ward's Apocryphal But True, for which there is a tile ad on the Stephanie Miller website, stephaniemiller.com. Buy the album, why don't you?
Oh, speaking of American Idol, I've got all the latest on the Paula Abdul thing.
Oh, really?
Oh, I'll be doing it the old-fashioned way. I'll be saying it, not tweeting it, when we return 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Big place where dreams come true.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Jim in Syracuse on Peeing in the Shower. Hi, Jim. I have added yet another fetish fan base to
you have.
Foot fetish and what was the other one? Oh, tickling.
Yeah.
Fetish sites. Hello, Jim.
Hello.
Yes.
Look, I took your advice about saving the planet by peeing in the shower.
Yes.
But my wife was in there at the time, and she wasn't happy about it.
Oh, come on. That's fun. It all washes off. Tell her to lighten up. Yeah. All right. Joy in Santa Cruz on peeing in the shower as well. Hello, Joy.
Hello. Chris Louise Lavoie.
Yes.
What is your problem?
With what?
Peeing in the shower.
It's disgusting.
It goes the same place.
Exactly. And you're saving water and the planet.
And you're doing it cleanly.
Mm-hmm.
And you're very clean yourself that way.
Exactly. Thank you.
And it's actually saving water. You're not flushing a toilet. You're already in the shower.
Joy, it's just another exhausting episode of Mama is Always Right and Chris is Always Wrong. Am I right?
Chris, Louise Lavoie, you need to get with the program.
Yeah, exactly.
I am with the program. In this modern day and age, we don't pee on ourselves.
Sorry. There's only one way to...
yeah, Stephanie's fetish fan base does, but that's about it.
There's only one way to cleanse the crazy from us from the oily taint. which we've been playing entirely too much of, the, you know, the birther girl, Russian woman. Holly in Manhattan says, Steph, please, please, please play the Get Off My Phone Glenn Beck Symphony. Oh, all right. Oh, Glenn Beck.
That was not sped up.
No.
He actually
special kind of crazy.
Screeched like that.
All right. Speaking of crazies, Carl in Chicago on the birthers. Hello, Carl. Hello, Carl.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
You know, Obama, in order to clear this health care bill thing up, if it's in its final form or very, very close to its final form, the president has to condense that thing into bullet points, go on television for maybe 45 minutes to an hour, and do a presidential message to the people and give all of the bullet points, especially the ones that they're throwing out that are crazy, like they want old people to die and you're going to lose your coverage, and they have to hammer those nails mm-hmm. down. And
yeah, because every time you think, do I need to respond to this? I guess you go like, yeah, I guess so. I guess, well, I do have to explain that.
Well, yeah, and then the other
we're not going to kill old people. Okay.
The other thing is during these meetings when they're being disruptive, all right, they have to have the police there, just like Bush used to do, and they have, when these people start yelling, they have to stop the meeting. They have to point these people out. Maybe throw a shoe at them, or maybe everybody throw a shoe at them, and the police have to escort these people out, and then maybe they can check and see who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And the third thing is that the president never, ever, ever, there's a process that they go through to make sure anybody that's running for president, and it looks like he's going to win the election, there's a process that they go through to vet the president.
Oh, you think? Is there some sort of vetting involved, huh? You think somebody might have checked that early on?
That process,
yeah.
I don't know what it is, but that process needs to be opened up so that people can understand exactly what does go on when you approve somebody to be the candidate for president of the United States, and they have to expose that. And when they're criticizing Obama for not being a citizen of the United States, they're not criticizing Obama. They're criticizing the Republican Party, who apparently didn't do a good enough job.
Yeah,
to get the president
exactly.
To find out what's going on.
Let that slip through the cracks. Good job. All right, 28 minutes after the hour, back with the real deal. On the Paula Abdul and American Idol stories. We continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Is there something I can do for you?
Yes, a matter of fact, there is. There is something I'd like you to get off your chest.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone
Sean
number.
Sean Connery before he was Scottish.
Kevin in D.C. here on the Stephanie Miller Show on the journalist being released by North Korea. Hello, Kev.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, the Republican reaction to the journalists being freed have turned me from a robust younger black man into a grumpy older white man, i.e. Andy Rooney. I find myself going around saying things like, have you ever noticed that every day is opposite day with right-wing psychopaths?
Yes.
Dating back to the campaign when Obama got all those...
By the way, I thought they were for family values. So a four-year-old getting her mother back?
Yeah, did you see?
That's bad now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm man enough to admit it. The first time I saw that, you know, the pictures of them coming back and embracing and all that, you know, I teared up because...
You cried and nobody even hit you in the nads.
Well, of course not, because mm-hmm. You have to be stone cold not to be affected by that.
You have to be Karl Rove, essentially, or Dick Morris. All right, let's get to the American Idol story, because it's what everybody's talking and tweeting about.
Well, if they could tweet.
I smell publicity stunt.
If they could tweet, Twitter is down because of a denial of service attack from someone.
Oh,
yeah, so nobody's been tweeting this
Paula,
morning.
Friends, don't let friends tweet drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what at first I thought the story was, because first of all, I'm going, this is... really sounds like a dumb move on her part, doesn't it? She demanded, I guess, $20 million? They offered her $10 million, and she felt unappreciated. And so I think what happened is she drunk tweeted, I quit, which...
Yeah.
is. You know what? I could feel appreciated. Even at $10 million, I could. I could feel appreciated. I could gin up some feeling of appreciation.
I could feel appreciated at $1
million. And you know me. I would drunk tweet that I quit, too.
Yes, well, if you could learn how to get on Twitter.
I'd be like, "What, Chris, what is the Hal Sparks show? Where? What happened here? Well,
I think I could make $1 million a year work.
I think I could.
I could skimp.
Yeah.
Scrimp, whatever the word is.
Yeah, that's what the one person at Idol called her reaction an emotional tweet. Or whatever it is she's doing at night.
She's an emotional twit herself. That's probably.
They say she didn't respond to the second offer and then tweeted her goodbye, but so now this morning the latest.
Well, this morning, according to Defamer, Bonnie Fuller, who is one of the producers of American Idol, tweeted yesterday that, quote, everyone was into the Paula PR stunt. Her contract is a done deal.
Huh.
Oh, that's just, come on. How can we all be manipulated emotionally like this so we can barely go on with our lives? So we know, is she on or is she off?
Negotiations just shouldn't be done by Twitter.
Whatever. Okay. All right. Please. It's a good thing I don't know how to tweet, because I could drunk tweet and quit someday by accident.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll bet you Hal Sparks wouldn't throw things at me.
Speaking
or write suck you in a note.
Okay. Speaking of money, Oprah Winfrey is being sued for $1 trillion.
Wow.
You know, I have one simple request, and that is to have sharks with frickin' laser beams attached to their heads.
I don't know, by some author who says she stole his poetry.
Whatever.
$1 trillion?
Okay. Exactly. Wow, this might be the moment that the Michael Jackson story has jumped the shark, or the chimp as it may be. Bubbles is writing a tell-all about Michael Jackson. Bubbles the chimp will publish a...
Are they going to put him in a room with a typewriter and, you know...
It will be a collection of very personal and honest entries from Bubbles' diary, according to the publisher.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking that may not be entirely serious.
You think so? You think that might be a little tongue-in-cheek somehow? All right. Most people with a some sort of a heart of some sort and some sort of soul are very, very happy about the magical moment yesterday when the American journalists came home and were reunited with their families. Patty in Fort Lauderdale wrote, Steph, if Bush had orchestrated the rescue of the two journalists, he would have stood with them on the tarmac with a bullhorn and taken all the credit for himself.
Yeah.
That's true.
Hey, how do you like me now, huh? Look what I done with my sock and all.
Mr. President, I'm right here. You don't have to.
From a leave no journalist behind program.
My ears are bleeding. I'm right next to you. Why do you have a bullet?
I started bombing Pyongyang. So I made it happen. Except some of the bombs accidentally hit Seoul. But hey, what you gonna do about it?
He would have had a mission accomplished and a flight suit and a cod piece. He would have pretended that he flew over himself to get them, and
right.
You know, yeah, it would have been a whole thing.
Combat operations in North Korea. Oh, wait a minute. Here comes a typo dog. Oops.
Bob in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Stephanie. You had a caller on earlier that I believe wanted anybody disagreeing with our position to be hauled off in handcuffs because they stood up and yelled. And I actually think that's probably the wrong way to go about it. I think we should probably invite them up to the microphone and they can yell for a couple of minutes or they can make a cogent point. But I'll bet they wouldn't actually come to the microphone.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, I think they would. They'd stand there and yell for hours.
Yeah, exactly.
As long as the cameras are rolling.
Mm-hmm. President Obama sent an email out yesterday saying we've got to get out there, trying to organize his supporters as well to get out to the town halls. He said these canvases, town halls, and gatherings only make a difference if you turn up to knock on doors, share your views, show your support. Here's what I need from you. Can you commit to join at least one event in your community this month? So there, you know, you can email where you live, and they'll tell you what's coming up near you. Donna Brazil has said she thinks the protesters are being paid to show up in some cases, these right-wing...
I bet they are.
She said they're renting organized. The left has done it before. Now they're doing it. This is not some spontaneous outbreak of emotion. It's because they wrote it down.
Yes.
It's in memos and things.
Yes, it is.
All right. John Fieri on the Situation Room. Apparently, Jim, the health care plan has already passed and failed. It's he's already been put through, and apparently it's already failed. What?
You know, it's really incomplete, and it's actually bordering on failure.
What?
I think that he's lost the communications battle.
Really?
And I just don't think that he's actually, it's not clear to me that he's going to actually get a bill. And if he doesn't get a bill, that's going to be a big fat F.
Hmm. Okay.
So that's the talking point now.
Yeah.
F. He's got an F.
The president said it pretty clearly yesterday. We will have health care reform by the end of the year if Republicans come along or if they don't.
Yep.
Karl Rove on O'Reilly yesterday.
I expect him to put up a bill, but I'm not certain whether it will pass or not. I think it depends on how August goes. I think the White House understands this, which is why they're dismissing any town hall meetings, any public uproar, any constituent feedback by saying that this is all phony and planned and don't pay attention to it. They're basically saying to members of Congress, no matter how hot it gets in August when you go home over health care, just ignore it because that's all phony stuff.
Yes.
But members would be, you know, making a mistake if they did that.
Oh, okay. We'll certainly take your advice under advisement.
Otherwise, those people won't vote for Obama next time. Oh, they wouldn't anyway. What? Yes, they're phony and they're fake.
You know, the stimulus, which also is not even 2 months old, that apparently, as you know, has failed, as well as health care, which has not even passed yet, according to Monica Crowley.
The American people are mad as hell, Bill, and they're not going to take it anymore. And this health care debacle is the last straw. They see their government unresponsive to their needs and to their desires. They see out-of-control, profligate spending coming out of Washington with a stimulus package that has failed, with cap-and-trade, which is the largest tax increase in the history of the world.
All right.
Now on top of that, they see this.
Okay.
The American people being people bussed in by the insurance industry and the swift boat people.
What has happened when Bill O'Reilly seems to have to calm the right-wing crazies he invites on his show? When Bill O'Reilly is the the voice of reason.
I think he's finally realized the movement has jumped the shark, and it's like, okay, that's too much.
Nah, you sound like a crazy birther. Okay. Jeff in Orange County, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yeah, I just wanted to respond to Michael Steele saying that we've turned a dark corner when we take dissent as extremism. And to that, I'd like to answer back to everybody who says check IDs at these events and so on. No, let's use and you word it something like this, Frank Rich, the George W. Bush commemorative free speech zones. We turned this dark corner 10 years ago almost. So, you know, in response to that, that's
Yeah, you had to be a Bush supporter to even get into it. A town hall.
This is why they're singing the national anthem and God Bless America, because if you say anything about that, you're un-American. That's why they're doing it this way.
I mean, the reason...
Let's bring back the free speech zones.
God. I mean, the reason that, you know, it's not fair is because there are legitimate constituents with legitimate questions for their congressperson. And when you're bussing in people whose sole purpose is to disrupt the meeting, you know, that's not fair to the people that live in that district.
The legitimate questions can't even get through because of all the noise.
Yeah. 42 minutes after the hour, back with more on the right-wing... What should I call it? I guess we'll stick with Wall of Lies on healthcare as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You commie, homo-loving sons of guns.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere to join the party. Bill in Silver Spring, Maryland on Michael Steele. Hey, Bill.
I wanted to comment about his hypocrisy. When he was running for Senate and our former Governor Ehrlich were running for governor in 2004, they bussed in and paid homeless people from Philadelphia to pass out phony flyers in a predominantly black county, Prince George's County in Maryland, that made it look like they were in the Democratic Party. It was in the Post at the time, and it was somewhat of a scandal, but nobody talked about it. I don't know why he doesn't mention that.
Well, you know, and the other thing, Bill, is, you know, I don't know if people remember, Michael Steele is the one that made up this ridiculous story about people pelting him with Oreos.
Yeah, the Oreo story.
I know. It's like they made this guy the head of the Republican Party. Let's go to Kelly in Minneapolis. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Kel.
Hi, Stephanie. Hey, I'm one of those constituents that wants to show up at a town hall, and I want to talk to my senator, Klobuchar or Franken, mm-hmm. and hear what they have to say to me, somebody that voted them into office. And I do know what happened in Florida at the recount, and now that we're able to look at it and identify those people who are standing out there yelling, they were people who were flown in. And it's happened, you know. And
yeah, they'll probably wear the same Izod shirts. That'll be the dead giveaway.
Exactly. And one last thing, Stephanie, I am a single guy with mm-hmm. a dog, and I love your show.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
By the way, I was going to say, those of you that have ever seen Al Franken handle hecklers, I wouldn't go there.
Yeah, exactly.
I would avoid his town halls if
Oy,
I were you.
Bay with a schmear.
All right. Sean Hannity, just on the regular folks that are speaking out. Mm-hmm.
All right. With each new day, it seems that more and more Americans mm-hmm. are speaking out mm-hmm. against the direction in which Democrats are now taking this country. Mm-hmm. And that is our headline this Wednesday night, outrage. But unlike when it was members of their own party protesting, Democrats are now chastising anybody with an opinion.
No.
Well, when they're sent there specifically by people from the health insurance industry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hello.
To disrupt meetings. Not to ask legitimate questions.
Dear God. Okay.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. How dumb do they think people are? Well,
yes. Michelle Malkin.
You know, I again, it's classic projection from true mobsters. What did we see over the last 8 years but anti-war zealots shutting down ROTC offices and harassing Marines? We've seen open borders zealots, mobsters, shut down speech on campuses. And you didn't hear a peep from all of these delicate people who are now concerned about raucous behavior.
Mm-hmm. You mean anti-war zealots, like 70-something percent of the American people that thought the war was
illegal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Start with that. Ricky in Bethesda, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello, Ricky.
Yes, hi there.
Hi.
Go ahead. I'm another appalled constituent voter about what's going on in these meetings. Mm-hmm. I just had a thought. I wonder why so often when you go to civic events, they hand out 3x5 cards and pencils, and you write down your questions, and you submit them, and then someone goes through them and makes sure there aren't duplications, mm-hmm. and then the speaker will address them. And I don't know why there isn't more of an effort to do that and control the mob behavior.
Right.
Yep, absolutely.
Just set up the rules, and if you don't want to abide by them, go away and have muscle to make sure that they do go away.
Hmm. Well, that's the that's desperation what you're seeing, because when you have no alternative, that's all you can do is try to shout down the people that are actually offering something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or if you're Jonah Goldberg, it's completely the opposite.
What?
It does look. The White House, I really think, is sort of in a death rattle on this. They realize that they've got themselves in a corner, and so they're lashing out in ways that make them look terrible. And, the health care bill itself, or whichever bill we're talking about this week, the health care effort is a pinata. I mean, you can bash it from any angle and you'll get some reward. And the White House can't defend it, so they're attacking, citizens. It's an amazing act of desperation. I can't remember the last time I've seen something.
So the Obama administration, they're the desperate ones.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, even though poll after poll shows the public still supports President's plan, despite all the lying and
the fear mongering. Not the people paid by the insurance industry.
Yes. Okay, the president was out yesterday in the in Indiana.
That's right.
Very hard hit, obviously, mm-hmm. by the economy. He told the hurting Midwestern region its recovery will be like America's tough but certain. He said, even in the hardest times against the toughest odds, we've never surrendered. We don't give up. We don't surrender our fates to chance. We have always endured. He announced that recreational vehicle company's new owner had won a $39 million grant to build 400 battery electric trucks. He also talked about campaign promises.
We kept a campaign promise to put a middle-class tax cut in the pockets of 95% of working families.
Which he has done, just FYI.
Yes. Yeah.
Those of you watching.
GTK.
Okay, GTK. Uh-huh.
The last thing you want to do is to raise taxes in the middle of a recession, because that would just suck up, take more demand out of the economy.
Okay, and talking about the electric car grants.
This represents the largest investment in this kind of technology in American history.
Yes. So Joe Biden echoing about the electric cars and what it will do for us.
Allowing us to tell the sheiks of the oil-producing states, no thank you, we don't need you.
All right. Jim, would you like some humor from Dennis Miller?
Oh, boy.
No, this is actually from Bill O'Reilly, and Dennis Miller is trying to think it's funny, but...
They're trying to stimulate the economy, and the next... Do you know what the next thing is?
What's that?
Cash for polyester suits. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah, Travolta's got like 10 of them in his closet.
Love that.
Yeah, cash for polyester suits. You get them in, they give you cash, you buy a sweater. So we got to get
a little adrenaline into that rag trade. Yeah, I like that.
What?
If anyone understands why that was funny, call now. And then you buy a sweater. The punchline, Joe.
You got a polyester suit, and you get a sweater because it's just like the other thing, in a way, kind of, sort of.
Just when I thought nobody could top the cash for cluckers joke that Republicans
for chickens.
At least that had alliteration.
Maybe we'll pay people to buy chicken.
Well, at least that had alliteration.
At least it was a pun.
Yeah, but.
A bad
cash
one.
For polyester suits.
Obama also reminded people that
they must have fired the writers.
Some of the stimulus money was always designed for longer range infrastructure and energy projects to rebuild the economy. Yes, it was designed, you see, over 2 years. Just checking in with all y'all. It's only 2 months in, and the cash for clunkers. Why it's been a huge success. That's a part of the stimulus, you see. Negotiations to save the dwindling cash for clunkers fund dragged out.
I said cluckers.
Cluckers.
Here's some chickens. Give me some money.
The negotiations dragged out in the Senate on Wednesday, prompting Harry Reid to warn vacation-bound lawmakers they might be stuck in the Capitol for a few more days if they don't pass the $2 billion replenishment, which, by the way, the money is already in there.
Yeah.
And the Republicans already know it's going to pass. It's like they're just being obstructionist tools again for no reason. Okay. Dale, my right-wing love muffin in Cincinnati on the town halls. Hello, Dale. Hi, Dale.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes.
Yes.
I wanted to comment about your topic today. You were discussing about the those who are causing ruckuses at town hall meetings.
Yes.
And I'm a conservative.
It's a little more than a ruckus.
Well, whatever it is,
there have been death threats.
It is a response to what many people feel as a non-fair railroading being crammed down their throats, if you will, of a plan that they don't have any interest in.
No.
Okay. Well, no, but thanks for calling. Okay.
Oh, no. Come on. Get your talking points memorized.
I was just going to say, did he sound like he was reading a talking point? Because he did a little bit to me.
Yeah, he did.
A little bit.
This is a grassroots effort on the part of people who are not satisfied
on the part
with the
of people
way
that are
socialist Kenyan Obama is trying to turn us into a communist country.
Page two. Okay. Try not to sound like Paul Harvey when you're reading the talking points from FreedomWorks, brought to you by the private health insurance industry.
And now the rest of this story.
Page two.
Paid for by the insurance industry.
All right, speaking of Republicans being obstructionist tools, Sonia Sotomayor, as we've all known all along, is going to be the first Hispanic Supreme Court justice. Kit Bond is the latest Republican that has announced he will support her. But supporters from both parties say the underwhelming GOP support for the nation's first Latina Supreme Court nominee could produce a political backlash. Mel Martinez, he's a Republican who obviously has announced his support already, said this is not a helpful moment for Republicans among Hispanics. Again, it's just picking a losing fight.
Yep.
You know, it's like, okay. All right, tomorrow on the show, it turns out reparative therapy does not work.
Uh-oh.
Ted Haggard will be crushed. We will have that story and much more for you. John Fugel sang, and a festive Friday show tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.